So have a look now. We're going to look at, now this is called a Bible study. If you want to play hooky, you came to the wrong place. So we're going to look at some scripture tonight, and let's just get into the teaching kind of mode, and then let your fingers do the walking and let your heart be open and receptive, and we're going to talk about some stuff to help you. Amen?
Amen.
So it's been 4 weeks since I've been here. Pastor Jenny did 4 weeks ago, and then Brother Taylor, and then Brother Happy, and then Brother Greer. My God. So you probably remember what I talked about 5 Wednesdays ago now, but we were talking about being led by the Spirit made easy, and we were doing the previous part, and I was talking about a number of different things. Mainly, I don't really want to get into it. If you weren't here, then you can just figure it out later, because I kind of repeated a number of different things, but I was talking about it being the life, our spirit is the light in us. We were reading scriptures about that and how God leads us through our spirit, and just gave a whole bunch of scriptures about all that. So I'm not going to repeat all of that, but I want to move on a little bit, because I want to try to get to the spirit and the soul and the heart. And these words are sometimes complicated and people don't really understand. And then there's one scripture that says one thing, another scripture says another thing, and it can be a little confusing at times. So let's just start with Philippians 1:23. Can you turn with me there, please? And we are going to look at a number of verses today, so just get ready, okay? Because sometimes it's not that way, but this time it is. Philippians 1:23. I'm not waiting for you to turn there. I'm just reading it. And usually most of you, by the time I've read it and moved on to the next, you're still trying to find where the book of Philippians is. But that's okay. That is okay, because I'm just going to help you out tonight. All right. You are so welcome. Yes. Philippians 1:23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Notice he said, for I am in the strait, I want to depart and be with Christ. So what's he talking about? He can't be talking about his body. Because if you depart to be with Christ, your body doesn't go there. Right? He has to be talking, the I is talking about his spirit man. I wish to go and be with Christ. So he's saying the real me is my spirit. The real you is your spirit. All I see is your body, but the spirit on the inside is the real you. And some people can have a very defined, built body on the outside, but their spirit on the inside is very dilapidated and weak. Do you understand? Don't judge somebody because of what they look outside, because you don't know what their spirit looks like. But he said, I want to go. My spirit wants to go and be with the Lord, because that's what's going to depart is his spirit. And he called it himself. He's called it I, which shows us that the spirit of a man, in this case, he's talking about the spirit of a man. All right. Now have a look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. And the Bible says here, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. Ladies, I know you like to buy all your thousands of creams and potions, and like Brother Andy said. Yes, and everything. You know, what does Randy say? The potions and the creams and the concoctions, because you want to look younger. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. And we appreciate you doing that, ladies. Some of you maybe should do that, and some of you are already doing it. But we appreciate that. But I just want you to know that Paul is saying here that even though your outer shell, the body that is made from earth and is going to go back to earth, it should Jesus tarry, even though that is perishing, it is an aging process. We have renewed through an old covenant. You don't get me wrong, but I'm saying you are getting older. So you can slow that down with your faith and with the eutheronal covenant and with your potions. You can slow it down in the natural and with your faith, but you were so focused on the outside. The world is so focused on the outside. Why? Because they don't have any clue what's on the inside, because their spirits are dead unto God. But the inner man, notice it says the inner man is being renewed. And it don't need no potions or creams and vitamin supplements. The inward man is being renewed. That's your real you. That's your spirit. If you're in the Word and in prayer and in His presence, every day your spirit is looking better and stronger than it was yesterday, even though your body might not quite look as good as it did a year ago because it's aging. But your spirit is stronger today than it was last year if you stay with the Word. So I'm just showing you the difference between the inner man and the outer man. Are you still with me on that? Spirit versus soul. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And the Bible says here, and the God, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that means completely. And I pray that God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a preservation for the spirit and the soul and the body. Here's scripture to prove that you're a triune being. You have a body, but you are not a body. You think you are because that's what you see in the mirror, but you're not a body. You have a body. You are a spirit and you contain a soul. The soul realm is the invisible realm that makes up your mind, your brain. You do have one, right? And your will. You use your brain to make decisions. My mind is thinking, take a step. Then I have to choose to take a step. Right? My mind, my will, and my feelings, my emotions, the whole capacity. Most Christians, not in this church, but most Christians, they live more out of their emotions, their feelings, how they feel, than they do out of their spirit, because your spirit is it wants to operate in faith, wants to operate in trust in God, not how you feel. But your soul realm is all that stuff that has to be washed and renewed with the Word every day, or it will trip your spirit up. You understand that there is a difference here between spirit, soul, and body. I'm proving that to you. We should be more conscious of our spirits. Did you notice when he listed them in order, he listed spirit first? Yeah. Spirit, soul, body. Not the other way around. So we should be more conscious. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, we got to be more conscious of our spirit. Dad Hagin would talk about consecration services. I remember when I was small at the church, sometimes they would have a dedication service or a consecration service. And they would go and they would think that they were consecrating their spirits to God. And Dad Hagin would teach back in the day, that was popular in Pentecostalism back in the earlier days. And people would go and kind of wait on God, and but they would think they were consecrating their spirits. And he would teach them, you can't consecrate your spirit. When you got born again, your spirit was made alive unto God. It is owned by God. You are bought with a price. You are no longer your own. Your spirit can never be consecrated to God. It belongs to God. It's already consecrated to God. So you don't have to have a dedication service for your spirit. But what you can do is have a dedication service for your soul. Lord, I'm coming to commit my life to you, my future to you, my plans to you. I yield myself, I yield my vessel, I yield my emotions, I yield my will and what I'm going to choose to do in the future. Oftentimes they have dedication services at the end of the year, the beginning of the new year, to dedicate to God. But when that happens, it's not a spiritual dedication service, it's a soul dedication service, because your spirit's already dedicated. Your spirit can't be any less dedicated. It's your soul that fights all the things that God's trying to get over to you. Yeah. So if you hear a dedication service, that is of the soul realm. That is not of the spirit realm. Do you understand? Yeah. Now God can reveal in your spirit what you're to do, but you're dedicating your soul if you're having one of those services, because he already owns your spirit. You can consecrate your body to God. You can consecrate your will to God, but you can't consecrate your spirit because that already happened. That was the whole point of when you got born again. Yeah. Do you understand? So we need to think of ourselves as spirit beings first, possessing a soul and a body, not as soul beings having a spirit. Do you understand? Yes. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Can you look at that with me, please? Hebrews chapter 4, most of you know it by heart, but Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So there has to be a difference between the two, because the word can separate them. Do you see? And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Here's intents, intentions or will. Yeah. Thoughts, that's your mind, that's right. Of the heart. Yes. So do you see? It's using soul language. I'm a lawyer tonight proving a point to you. Amen. It's using soul language to talk about the heart. Did you see that? It is the discerner. The word can discern between the thoughts of the heart. So the heart has to be soul. Because it has thoughts. The intents of the heart. Intents means will. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. It could say the feelings. It didn't list. It only listed two of the three. But we know that there are three there. But notice that there is a difference between soul and spirit. I want you to see the difference there. And then it also tells us that the heart is connected to the soul. Because it has thoughts. And it has intentions. And it doesn't normally refer to the spirit like in that regard having thoughts. Because that's part of the soul realm. I'm just building a case. Can you just be kind of happy and patient? Okay. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You come here to study, so we're studying. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, how could, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. Is this man referring to your body or your spirit? It couldn't be referring to your body because when you got born again, you didn't get a new body. You got to think tonight. I can see some of you, you're not sure about that statement. When I got born again, I became new. What? When you see somebody come up here and get born again, what became new? Did they all of a sudden, poof, get a new body? So the man here, if any man is in Christ, cannot be referring to your physical outer flesh. It cannot be referring to your soul because you get born again, but then you still go out and cuss. Because your mind and your will and your emotions have not yet caught up. The only thing that became new at the point of salvation, the new creature, the man here is the spirit man, what I read before, the inner man or the inward man that is being renewed day by day if you're born again. So the man that got renewed in his spirit, not in his body. Do you see the difference? I know most of you know this, but I'm laying a foundation because, you know, the Lord's been dealing with my wife and I about now that I'm going to eventually travel more, and I never take anything with me when I travel. And so we're going to start getting some of these series downloaded on USB sticks and stuff so that when I travel, I can give an entire series if somebody wants to learn these things. And who knows what history they've had, what background they've had, what church could they come from. And so sometimes I have to just plow a little bit, even though most of you already know this, but it's more than just for you. It's for the radio and it's for other places as well. So the man that became a new creature was your spirit man. It was because you didn't get a new body. And you didn't get a brand new brain, a brand new emotions, a brand new set of feelings. That all took time to conform itself and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, renewing of the soul. And the putting under of the body and its fleshly desires. So this is the man is the spirit. So in Christ, notice it said, if any man be in Christ. So when we're talking about in Christ, when you are in Christ, it's talking about your spirit. The spiritual reality, which will affect the soul, but it's the spiritual reality. Remember Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness that we are the children of God. Did you notice it bears witness with our spirit? Just look at it, because I want your eyes to see that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 first, and it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Notice that? Yes. He bears witness with our spirit. He doesn't bear witness with your mind. He doesn't bear witness. Now, your mind will catch up, but he bears witness with your spirit. Spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. Your mind catches up, but your spirit is the origin point of all communication from God. Even the bearing of witness that you're even saved. Plus the bearing of witness of who you should marry. Plus the bearing of witness of what church you should go to, what school you should go to, if you should get on that plane or not. The bearing of witness is always with your spirit. Your mind will catch up, but don't look to your thought life because that's not where he bears witness. You see, because there is a soul and there is a spirit. And they are very different. I'm giving you scripture to prove this, that they are different. You still with me? Now, Hebrews 4, 12, we already read that. That it's the divider between soul and spirit. Kenneth Hagin said that rarely, if ever, did he ever hear in his lifetime any great men of God or theologians, including, and he named him, so I'll name him, Billy Graham, that ever got that right. Now, today, it's more common. But back for many, many, many decades, people thought the soul and spirit were the same thing. Billy Graham thought it was the same thing. Most people did not divide that, and it took time to study. And Dad Hagin said, I looked for years. I asked every person I knew. Everybody said soul and spirit was the same. There's X number, there's 197 souls on board. You know, they're almost interchangeable words, but they're not the same. And that's why we're giving some scripture to show that they're different. And if you're going to understand the heart, you have to understand the difference between the soul and the spirit first, because they are different. Okay, so with your body, you contact the physical realm.
Yes,
that's
right.
With your mind, you contact the intellectual realm. And with your spirit, you contact the spiritual realm. There are three parts of you, and they each contact a different realm. Do you understand? Now, God can cross over because things you could, by the gifts of the spirit, your body can contact the spiritual realm. If you see into the realm of spirits, for example, but on a daily basis without an intervention of God by the gifts of the spirit, your mind is connecting intellectually, your body is connecting physically, your spirit is connecting spiritually. I know that sounds basic, but believe me, to many denominations, even today, that is great revelation. Because people just don't understand that. What about 1 Corinthians 14:14? I'll just quote it to you. If I pray in tongues, well, let's just look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Turn with me there. We got time. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my understanding, what's the understanding? The mind. You understand things with your mind. You feel things with your emotions. That's all part of the soul. You make decisions with your will. That's all part of the soul. When I pray in other tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind is unfruitful, doesn't know what's going on. Do you see the difference? You're a spirit being. That's why people don't pray in tongues as much as they should, because it feels, if you're not spiritual, it feels a bit strange. I don't make sense. I don't know what I'm saying. And if you're more naturally minded than you are spiritually minded, it will draw you away from praying in the spirit, because your brain is just not being occupied. It's not functioning. It's not being used. The Bible calls it unfruitful. But your spirit is very active. And since the real you is a spirit, the innerward man being renewed, if you want to renew it, you got to get it moving. You got to pray in the Holy Ghost, because your spirit is active when you're praying in tongues. When you're praying in English, your spirit and your soul is active. You know, you can pray in spirit, in the spirit, and not pray in tongues.
That's right.
Did you know that? Just quickly look at Ephesians chapter 6 for a second. Just quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. Praying always, verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. All prayer. All nine kinds of prayer. That means I can be praying the prayer of agreement, but be praying in the spirit.
Absolutely.
Praying in tongues is called praying in the spirit, but that's one of the nine kinds of prayer. But you are to pray in the spirit with all kinds of prayer. What does that mean? That means when you're in the spirit and you're praying in the spirit, you're praying in the Holy Ghost. But when you've stepped over and you're in that, you're aware and conscious of the moving and the leadings of the Spirit of God as you're praying, you can step over and pray in English, but still be praying in the spirit, still be praying in that spiritual realm, still being led by God in that realm. Do you understand? Praying in the spirit, therefore, is not limited only to tongues. All prayer can be in the spirit, but tongues is the door of entrance. Okay, I don't want to get distracted or off what we're talking about here, but I'm trying to, my spirit prays, my mind is not understanding what's going on. You can see, and there's other verses, I'm just giving you some, but there is overwhelming evidence that your spirit man and your soul are very distinct.
Amen.
Your body is very distinct.
Amen.
And most people understand that. That's not too hard, but I'm laying a foundation. Now, what about this crazy word heart? Because I got the spirit and soul thing down. But what is this heart thing? Well, we know from Hebrews 4:12, the heart has something to do with the soul because it has thoughts and intentions. Okay, but I'm going to give you some scriptures now. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Are you ready? Genesis chapter 6. Just lie to me even if you're not. And just say and act like you're excited. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, see that?
Yeah.
That soul, were only evil continually. Can your heart be evil?
Yes.
Well, then how can it be your spirit? Okay, Genesis 8:21. I'm getting some people angry, so I'm doing my job. Wigglesworth said, have a reaction, positive or negative. Okay, you're all happy. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Okay. What about Proverbs 6 and verse 14? Proverbs 6 and verse 14. And the Bible says, frowardness is in his heart. And that word frowardness means perversity. Is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, and he sows discord. So you can have perverse hearts. You still with me? Now what about verse 18? A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Oh, I thought the heart was just this good place. Proverbs 26, verse 23. Proverbs 26, verse 23. And it says, burning lips and a wicked heart are like the potsherd covered with silver dross. Wicked heart. Now, I'm not going to read all of them a second time, but I'm going to give you references just, and this is not all. There are dozens of references. I'm just giving you a few so you can see. I'm not taking it out of context, okay? Proverbs 10:20 says, the heart of the wicked man. So you can have a wicked heart. Yes. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Let's read that together. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. I'm going somewhere with this. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay, so I see that my heart isn't all that hot, right? What about Romans? I won't just quote it to you. Romans 1:21 in the New Testament says that sinners they are foolish with hearts that have been darkened. So the foolish out there have darkened hearts. If you're not born again, you've got a darkened heart. Now, what about Matthew 12:34? Read that with me. Matthew 12:34. Hallelujah. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart. So there is a good heart. Will bring forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So it says here, the abundance of the heart. Whatever is overflowing in your heart comes out of your mouth. So just listen to what you're saying and you'll know what's in your heart. Now, I'm not going to be messing with you, but I'm messing with you. So when you cuss, when you lose your temper and they cut you off and you signal to them with certain fingers and you say things, or you get mad at your wife and you're fighting and rowing and yelling and I hate you and you're an idiot and all these things. Or you lose your temper with somebody at work.
Yeah.
You're saying things.
Yeah.
They're an abundance of what's in where? Your heart. So if I am losing my temper, for example, and I am angry and I am bitter, maybe in unforgiveness, maybe raging or whatever, what does that tell me? It means my heart is full and the overflow is what's coming out of this thing. So if the overflow is not good, what does that mean in here? It means my heart is filled with wrong. So how could my heart be my spirit? How can it be? It can't be. Because your spirit cannot sin. As I taught earlier on. We're trying to get to the bottom of this because there's confusion with people when they talk about the heart. Because they don't know what they're talking about, including me for many years. Because it seems like we got a lot of problems here. So a believer can speak bad things. Because a believer can have a filthy heart. You can't talk sexually explicit things.
Come on.
Vulgar things. Dirty things. If it's not, it means it's your heart is full of that. Because it wouldn't come out of your mouth until this tank got filled. The overflow is spilling out of your lips. So people can have a wicked heart, a perverse heart, sexually immoral heart, cussing heart, vulgar heart, evil heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah, who can even know it? It's so deceitfully evil. And it just flows out of your words. And yet, you're born again. It's very possible. But we're going to figure it out, aren't we?
Amen.
So the heart can't be the spirit. Now, I already read that, but I'm just going to give you references in case you're interested in studying this a little bit more on your own. But where it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and then the bad heart, etc. That is found in Matthew 12:35, which we just read. But Jesus repeated it in Mark 7:21, and he repeated it again in Luke 6:45. Three of the four Gospels talk about the heart and the mouth. He wants us to get it. Out of an evil heart comes evil words. Out of a good heart comes good words. So I just give you those as references. Now, what about Matthew 15:19? Let me read that to you. Matthew 15 and verse 19. And it says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Notice thoughts are connected with the heart. I'm proving to you multiple scriptures. The heart is connected to the soul because there's thoughts involved. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders. Adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. These Pharisees are so stupid. Oh, you didn't wash your hands, you're going to defile your heart. No, you might have a germ and get a stomach bug. You see how legalistic and weird they were? Your physical hand washing has got nothing. Jesus is saying that is not the important thing. You're doing it out of the law of Moses because you're legalistic. Yeah. But what is really the issue is your heart, Mr. Pharisee. Yeah. You might have clean hands because you got your lotions and potions, but your heart is filthy. And out of it comes false witness. Out of it comes adultery. Remember, he said, you went on to cast first stone because those Pharisees were having sex with that woman. That's why he said that. And that's why they all were ashamed and walked off, because they're the ones sleeping with her. See, out of the evil heart comes the murders. They wanted to murder him. They wanted to kill him. And they did. Well, he didn't murder him, but they tried to kill him.
Yeah.
You see, he's saying you are the evil ones because your heart has all these things coming out of it. Fornications, adulteries, murder, false witness. Remember, they hired people and paid money when Jesus was on the stand to bear false witness against him. These are the same hypocritical vipers that he's talking about. And he's saying your heart's wrong. Out of it proceeds. So I'm showing you the heart has some bad connotations to it. But there's also, of course, good connotations. Ephesians chapter, usually, okay, some of you look at me like, my God, why did I come to church tonight? What are we hearing tonight? Help us, Jesus. Just tell me that where the season of breakthrough is on the horizon, Pastor. Yeah, well, that was then. This is now. So the season of breakthrough is still here, but we're learning. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. The blindness of their hearts. You know what the Greek word is? It's porosis, and it means the stupidity of their hearts. Jesus calls them stupid. That's what they are. When you have a heart, another translation says the hardness of their heart.
Yeah.
So if you have a hard heart, or a blind heart, that's part of your soul you won't see.
Yeah.
You're actually stupid. It means stupidity. So you can see the heart here is not just evil, but it can be hardened. And there's many other verses. I'll just quote it, but Romans 8:7 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. The mind. But it doesn't say the word heart, but how many times does it say the thoughts and intents of the heart, the thoughts of the heart, the plannings of the heart? So the mind is part of the heart, and it can be hostile toward God. Do you understand? Now, let's talk a little bit more for a second on, so I've kind of, there's a lot of other verses, but can we just kind of stop now talking about how bad the heart can be? Because I think I've proved it to you that it's possible. All right? Okay. So Hebrews 4:12 again, we already read it. You don't need to look it up. The heart, the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? So that means that the heart, being part of the soul, can choose, because it has thoughts and intentions, your heart can choose to do wrong. But it can also choose to do right. So the heart is a soul issue, because it can be good. Out of the good heart comes things, and it can be bad. Out of the bad heart. So it can't be the spirit, because the spirit can't have bad things. I'm going somewhere. What about Psalm 51 verse 10? I'll quote it to you. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me, now watch this, I don't know if you've seen this. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now watch the way that he phrases these things. David is went after he sinned with Bathsheba, he's repenting. Create in me a clean heart. He's talking about the heart. Then he says, renew a right spirit. Then he says, now he goes back to the heart. Cast me not away from your presence. Heart is of the soul. A sinner can come in here and feel the presence, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. Cast me not away from your presence is to do with the heart. It's to do with the soul. He just said, create in me a clean heart. Then he says in the next verse, first line, cast me not away from your presence, because your heart or your soul can feel presence. But your spirit is different to your heart, because he said, renew a right spirit within me. And then he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me, because the Holy Spirit's residence is in the spirit. A sinner can feel the presence. You don't have to have a renewed spirit to feel the presence, but you have to have a renewed spirit to have the Holy Ghost with you. Now, the word create is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It means to chop a tree down and build something with it. Make a table. It means a formative process. What is he saying here? Create in me a clean heart. Why is he saying that? Because it's a process to get your heart clean. But renew a right spirit. Renew is not a process term. What he's saying is, Lord, it's a different terminology. But I think it's interesting when he talks about the heart, create in me a clean heart. That means do a process on my heart. Amen. Just like you would chop a tree, all the work it takes to come up with a table, that is a long process. But it started with getting the axe out. What he's saying is, Lord, my heart or my soul cannot be changed instantly. Are you listening? Yeah. So work a process in me. Create a process in me to make my heart, he's talking about his soul, to be right. But to renew is instantaneous. See, your spirit life, your spirit man is not a process.
No.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's important that you understand this. Now, David is in the Old Testament. He wasn't born again. But let me bring it to the New Testament. When you got born again, your spirit man instantaneously became right.
Yeah.
That's your new creation.
Yeah.
There was no process.
Yeah.
But for your heart or your soul to become right, we pray the same way that David did, even in the New Testament. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Or, Lord, there's a process that it's going to take to get my thoughts right, my words right, my intentions right, my emotions right, my feelings right, my words right. There's a process it's going to take. And that same create in me a clean heart process, formative process, we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And that says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The process of metamorphosis. From the caterpillar to the butterfly. The process of transformation by the renewing of the mind or the making right of the heart. Do you understand? You see from Psalm 51 and Hebrews, Romans chapter 12, a similarity there. So your heart is on a process to be made right. Now Psalm chapter 26 verse 2, Psalm chapter 26 verse 2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try the reins of my heart." Do I have to ask God to try the reins of my spirit? My spirit's perfect. My spirit could be weak, but it's perfect. You're never told to guard your spirit. You're told to guard your heart. Why? Because your spirit can't sin. But your spirit, you're told to strengthen your spirit. So notice that God can examine your heart. He can try. He can see your motives. Remember, the intentions of the heart. This is where the whole motive stuff comes into play. And that's all part of the soul realm or the heart. Now have a look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. You're still okay, right? Some of you are quiet, but I'm just in a different mode. And that's okay, because there's times and places for all the different flows. Now watch now. verse 26. A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He separates the two. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes so that you'll be able to keep the judgments and do them. Now, this is a prophecy about the new covenant.
It is.
He could not put his spirit within people in the old covenant.
Right.
So what is Ezekiel is prophesying about you? He's prophesying about the church age. But watch what he said. A new heart will I put in you and a new spirit. Now watch the next verse. And I will put my spirit within you. Why do you need a new spirit? Because the Holy Spirit can't be housed in an old spirit. I will put a new spirit in you. What does that mean? Your spirit is going to be made brand new and recreated and connected to God and open and clean and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit comes and lives in that new spirit. But did you notice he didn't just say spirit? He said heart. We know heart is connected to the soul. He said, I'm going to put a new heart and take out the stony heart. That means he's prophesying about the future now, our covenant age of the church age. He's saying, what I'm going to do, Gloria, is I'm going to put a new spirit in you and the Holy Ghost is going to come. But I'm also going to put a new heart or soul in you and take out that hard, stony means hard, that hard heart. Meaning in the new covenant, when we get born again in our spirit, our heart or our soul has to still be soft, not hard, soft, because out of that heart, out of all of that soul realm is going to come our thoughts and our emotions and our decisions, and it has to be washed and renewed. And the more it's renewed, the more it's soft. Do you see this even in the old covenant? I'm just hammering away. Help us, Jesus. Now, one of the most wonderful verses, because people have argued with me over the years and said, no, in the New Testament, that all that bad heart stuff, all that wicked heart stuff, that's all Old Testament. But in the New Testament, you know, your spirit is born again and your heart's perfect and your heart's never wrong. But then that's weird because Jesus said, out of a heart can come bad things and out of a heart can go. And you know that you can cuss and you can be vulgar. You can be bad, but that comes out of your heart. But your heart can't be your spirit because it's sealed. Your spirit is perfect. But I want you to read this. I'm still going somewhere, so just relax. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, because this verse tells us definitively, clearly, without any ambiguity whatsoever about your heart in the new covenant. Hebrews 3, verse 12. He's talking to believers, born again believers. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart.
Yeah.
So it's possible for a believer to have an evil heart. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened, that's the heart, through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. He said, beware, be warned, take heed, pay attention, lest in any of you there be an evil heart. So he's warning us as new covenant believers that our hearts, our souls, which is not that far-fetched if you understand the context of what a heart is. It's not your spirit. Just bear with me. I'm getting somewhere. But it's not the way that people say it, the way that they have said it. Your heart is your spirit. It is and it isn't. But I'm focusing on the part that it isn't, because your heart can be evil, but your spirit can never be evil. So do you see this? So he's giving us definitive verses here. Now, let me just quote you. Remember Mark 4:15? Jesus says, the sower sows the word, and the birds pick it away. Yeah. Then he's explaining it, and he says, Satan comes and steals the word sown into the heart. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. So your heart is your soul, because Satan can't steal anything out of your spirit. Yeah. Remember the image? He throws the seed. Some fall on hard ground, and then all the other kinds of ground. And the first ground, which was hard ground, he says the soil is the heart. The birds pick it away. Then in the definition, he says Satan comes to steal the seed of the word out of your hearts. So what does this mean? When the word goes into you right now, Tyrone, it's going into Tyrone's heart. But what is his heart? His heart is his soul. It goes into his mind. It's part of his soul. Now, if he does not guard that word, Satan's going to come into his heart and steal it. Not his spirit, his heart. Because he can't steal from your spirit. But he will take it from the soil of your heart. But if he guards that word, that seed, and listen, here's the key, meditates upon it, thinks upon it, talks about it, prays about it, reads it over and over and over like a cow chewing a cud. What's going to happen? Revelation is going to come, which does not originate with his brain. It originates with his spirit. And as revelation comes, the seed that is in the soil of his heart, his soul, that revelation, that seed, that word goes down into his spirit man. When it's that revelation is in his spirit man and his mind is renewed, but the revelation is in the spirit, not just the soul. The devil can't steal it away because he can't get access to the spirit. So that's why he's after the word as soon as you hear it, because lest you meditate and it gets into your spirit and you get revelation, he's finished. So he has to take it out of your soul quickly before it gets down into your spirit. Because once it's in your spirit, he can't touch it. So he'll work on the heart. It goes into the soil of the heart, and he'll pick it away because it hasn't got down yet into the spirit. Once it's in the spirit, he's finished. So he has to steal it quickly, because lest you meditate an hour later or even during the service, you could get revelation on that. And now it's in your spirit. Now he's stuck. But he'll try to get it from the heart or the soul realm as fast as he can. I'm proving to you. I'm showing you. Now, I'm going to twist it on you in a second. We're going to play Twister. I'm going to twist it on you, but for the moment, I'm showing you that the heart cannot be the spirit. Because even he's stealing it from the heart, but he can't steal it from the spirit. He's stealing it from the soil of your soul. Meditation will get it down into your spirit, then he's stuck. But there is a difference there. You're still here. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 1:13. Ephesians chapter 1:13. Watch this now. Watch this. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you got born again, God sealed your spirit. He sealed it with the anointing and he sealed it with the blood. Your spirit can never sin. Your spirit can never have evil thoughts and evil anything coming out of it. Your spirit can never have a demon. The most you can ever be is demon oppressed. You can never be possessed if you're born again, because possession is of the spirit man. And you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. I can never sin out of my spirit. My spirit can never do evil. My spirit is sealed. But my spirit, if not fed with the word, can become weak. That's why Paul talks in the Pauline prayers about be strengthened in your inner man. You can have a weak spirit, but never a dark spirit. never an evil, sinful spirit. So you understand that, right? Your spirit is perfect. It's sealed. But your heart, your soul, is certainly not perfect or sealed. It's a process. It's a process. Have a look at Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And then we're going to clue up and get to what I'm trying to get to. Proverbs 4:23. There's a great verse. Guard thy heart. The word in the King James is keep. But the word keep in Greek is nesar, and it means to guard or protect like a soldier.
Yeah.
Guard your heart with all diligence. What does that mean? If you're going to do one thing, good. You better give yourself to guarding your heart.
Yeah.
All diligence means all energy, all focus. But pull out all the stops. You might lessen this or lessen that, but for the love of God, don't ever stop guarding your heart with all your might, because guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it, notice what it says here, out of it are the issues of life. The word issues in Hebrew means boundaries. Your borders, your boundaries are going to be determined by your heart. Now listen, you don't have to guard your spirit. Your spirit cannot have evil. So how could your heart be your spirit? He's telling you to guard or protect from what? From something bad. You're protecting your heart, your soul, from evil, because you know that you can have all this evil in your heart if you allow it. So he says, guard and protect that soul realm, that heart realm, because out of your mind, out of this renewed or unrenewed mind is going to come how far you're going to go in life. Your boundaries are determined by what comes out of your heart. So guard that heart. I'm just bringing out the emphasis that you don't need to guard your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Because your spirit is sealed.
Amen.
You only guard your mind. You guard your soul. You guard your heart. So I think I've proven to you that your heart cannot be your spirit. Now, I'm going to quote. I'm not going to open them up and read, but I'm just going to quote. You know, you can have, there's a lot of verses that talk about the good heart. Just like there's a lot of verses about the bad heart. Because your heart is up to you. It can be good or bad. Your spirit's always good. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Psalm 141 verse 4. Jeremiah 29:13. Seek me with all your heart. So you can have your heart seeking after God with everything in your heart. That's a good heart. Psalm 24:4 talks about having a pure heart. Psalm 73:1 talks about having a pure heart. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, so that you can actually trust God and have faith in God with all of your heart. These are all positive connotations. What about Philippians 4:6-7? Don't be anxious, and everything by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart. So that means in your soul realm, the peace of God can be there. And there's many scriptures about good hearts, pure hearts. I'm not focusing on those as much because most people think the heart is good. And there's lots of verses that say it's good. Most people have a trouble believing their heart could be bad, which is why I've hammered only some. There's many more verses that talk about the evil of a heart. Because I'm simply trying to prove one thing. Your heart in and of itself cannot be your spirit. Because your heart has evil qualities. It can go this way and it can go that way, good or bad. Your spirit cannot go this way or that way. It is sealed. Okay, so I have all these scriptures and I say, Lord, how does this work then? Because if the heart is not the spirit and the heart is the soul, but I got a big problem here because the Bible says, believe with your heart. And confess with your mouth. Faith comes of the heart. And Dad Hagen taught that faith comes of the spirit. This is a big problem, Taylor. Because I can see in scripture that the heart can't be the spirit. What I proved to you. But the Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It says, it talks constantly about faith connected to the heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's faith. It talks about believe in your heart. Everything about faith is connected to the heart. But Dad Hagen said unequivocally and repeatedly, and I believe him, that faith comes out of your spirit. Why does faith come out of your spirit? Faith comes out of your spirit because it can't come out of your soul, because your soul is not, it's not, your soul is flopping around. It's half of it is unrenewed. Faith is a pure spiritual force. It can't come out of something that could be evil one minute and good the next minute. Faith has to be of the heart, but that heart is talking about spirit. Because it has to come out of your inner man. Your spirit man believes. The leading of the spirit comes out of your spirit. Faith comes out of your spirit. Believe with, but it calls it heart.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Why do you have to call it heart? I tried to change it. I tried to look in the Greek. I tried to, he didn't mean heart. He meant the word spirit. But no, it says clearly heart. How on earth could you have all this evidence, mounting evidence, undeniable, overwhelming evidence that your heart is your soul with thoughts and intentions, with good tendencies and bad tendencies, yet your spirit where faith comes is also your heart because it can't be out of the soul. It causes a lot of confusion. And so I just got so frustrated with it. I felt like Dad Hagen, he never sought after it about the heart. And I've listened to everything he said, and he never explains this. Dad Hagen never explained ever what the heart was. Because Dad Hagen didn't know. I'm not saying that disrespectfully. I'm just saying if he knew, he would have explained it because he explained everything else. But he would say the heart is the spirit. But the heart can't be the spirit because the heart can be evil and the spirit can't be evil. But the heart has faith and that is of the spirit. So he's kind of right, but he's not really explaining it. And so I, just like in his life, nobody explained soul and spirit. Nobody understood it. And he had to seek God for God to show him. Then he brought revelation. So, but he never really fully understood the heart because he never explained it. And so I can't look to him. I've asked every single minister I know. Every single minister I know. Not one of them can answer me. What the heart is compared to the spirit and the soul. And that's frustrating. Because I'll hear one say, well, it's your spirit because it's faith come. And then another one say, well, it's your soul because it can be evil. So what is going on? So I just stopped preaching it. I wrote, put it in my drawer and I said, well, I'll figure it out in heaven. My first class in heaven will be heart, spirit, soul, what are they? And I was on the plane one day. And the whole, I'm going to keep you, it's only 10:50, I'm good, I'm great. I can get this done in 9 minutes, no problem. Just 1 second. And I said, Lord, I'm real frustrated. I said, because I'm just a detailed person. I can't abide not understanding this. And the heart is good because the heart is your spirit because of faith, but the other parts of your heart are not. And I don't understand how this works. And I need you to show me. And I'm sitting on that plane and I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me. And he said, because you've sought me, I'm going to show it to you. Now, this is going to sound so simple when I say it to you. So don't roll your eyes because I'll slap you. Because it takes me a long time because I I'm telling you, people don't understand it. People don't understand it because if they did, everybody would be explaining it to me. And you can understand the conundrum of what I've expressed to you tonight. Faith is of the heart, which is the spirit, but the heart cannot be the spirit because it can be evil. And your spirit can't be evil. So how does this work? And the Lord quoted me the Rosetta Stone. Do you know what a Rosetta Stone is? It's the stone that unlocks the language. It's a key. He quoted me the key verse which has been eluding me all these years. And it answered, finally, the question. So if you would, I don't know if, should I tell them, Jenny, what the key verse is? Maybe we should just wait till next week.
You better tell them.
1 Peter. Thank God for Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 is the Rosetta key for this issue. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And I saw it. I understood it. Revelation knowledge came to me. And this is what it is. Your heart, think of it as a circle. Your heart is the core, the center of who you are. I'm not talking about your pumper. I'm talking about the soul realm. The heart is your soul. There's no question about that. We can prove it scripturally. And in that soul or that heart, depending on how you act and what you do and what you don't do, you can have a good heart or a bad heart. You can have evil or you can have positive. Good things can come out of it. Bad things can come out of it. But within that circle called the heart, there is a secret, hidden room. There is a secret compartment. There is a circle, and there is a circle within the circle. There is a heart, and there is a hidden room within the soul, but that is greater than the soul and deeper than the soul. It is not the soul, but it is so close to the soul. It's like bone and marrow. The word has to divide soul and spirit. We're like bone and marrow. It is so close. But there is a heart of man, and then there is a secret room within the heart that is deeper than the heart that goes into another dimension. It's like a fourth dimension. And it's a secret hidden room within the soul, and that room is called the spirit. And you have a hidden man because your spirit is your inner man or your inward man that is being renewed day by day. And that man, that spirit man, that inward inner man lives in that secret compartment within the heart. It is called the hidden man, or in Greek, the secret man. The man that is not cannot be seen with the natural eye. It's the man, that's your spirit man, but it's hidden within the heart. When he showed me that, all the pieces clicked. So my heart in my shallow waters is my soul that can be renewed underneath evil, wicked, good, positive, whatever. But there's another place within my heart called the secret place. In that secret chamber is a man called the spirit man or the inner man or the hidden man of the heart. My spirit man is in my heart, but in another chamber called the spirit. That is sealed by the blood, that can never be touched, possessed, no evil, nothing can come out of it, but it's within the heart. That's why faith, brother, is of the heart. Because in that inner man, that inner chamber called my spirit, where my spirit man lives within a hidden place of my heart, out of that place comes faith. But my spirit is my heart, but it's secret and hidden within it. You got to look at it four dimensionally. If you don't look at it four dimensionally, you can't figure it out. Because if you just look at it two dimensionally or three dimensionally, it doesn't work. But there is a dimension called the heart, which is the soul. But there is a secret chamber within the soul called the spirit. And every human being out there on the road in your work, all these sinners, they got a soul, and their secret chamber is locked and dead. But as soon as they say yes to Jesus, the Holy Ghost comes and unlocks that chamber. Oh my God. And that spirit man becomes alive unto the Father. The blood of Jesus washes and seals it. And then the Holy Ghost moves in to that inner chamber. And he throbs like a nuclear power plant within the inner man of the heart. It is the heart, but it's a secret chamber within the heart. And when he showed me that on that plane, I mean, I almost slapped the drunken lady beside me. I was so excited. I said, well, now I can see it. Now I can see it. The heart can be evil, but the heart can also be pure because the inner secret chamber is the spirit, which is still technically the heart, but it's the deepest part of the heart. And out of that place comes everything of faith and of the spirit. So you can say it comes out of your heart, but it's out of the spirit man, which is hidden in the heart. And the red, that's the deep waters of the heart. Remember it says deep calleth unto deep. The Spirit of God calls unto the deep waters of your heart, which is your spirit. The shallow waters is all the could be good, could be bad. That's all the soul. And then I'm sitting there and the Holy Ghost said, would you like me to give you a couple other examples of this? And I said, Lord, I sure would. And I said, can I just read you this for a second? I guess I can't because there was no response. 2 Kings chapter, I'm doing it anyway. I'm being polite. 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 2. He took me to the story, which is an unusual story. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins, take this box of oil, that's the anointing, in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when you come thither, look there out Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber and take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. He's in a house. He's sitting talking. That represents the soul. That represents the heart. But then the prophet with the anointing says, come into a secret hidden chamber. A room within the room. They leave the others in the living room and they go to a closet. They go to a private place that represents the spirit. And what happened in that inner chamber, in that hidden place, the anointing came. Because the anointing comes out of the spirit. Can you see that parallel? Then the Lord, I said, can you give me one from the New Testament, Father? And he said, yes. And he took me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. And it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And the Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. This is a symbolic parallel. Jesus is saying, when you go to your house, a house has got a roof and it's protecting you from the outside. The outside being your body. Now the house is your soul. You are in another realm. You're not out in public. You're in an enclosed space that represents your heart or your soul. But what is Jesus saying? He says, don't just pray in your living room. Mm-hmm. He says, go to your closet. In the Greek, it means a secret place, an inner chamber, not commonly accessed. Yeah. What is Jesus saying? Don't just pray out of your soul. Go into that place of intimacy. Go into the place of the spirit. You see, it's a chamber within a room. It's a specialized area that is different from the common. The shallow waters of your heart is one room, but there is a hidden man within that place. There is a secret place. Within that heart, there is an inner chamber, a closet where your spirit man dwells. And even when Jesus gave that thing, I know people just take it naturally, like I'm going to go to my closet, but it's not just about the physical closet. That's not what he's talking about, the physical location. He's using that as an example. What he's trying to say is, I want you when you pray, get out of your mind, get out of the soul living room, and get into the secret chamber of the realm of the spirit. Go in your closet, shut the door, get into that secret place. Years ago, I said, Lord, what does it mean in Psalm 91? Abide in the shadow of the Almighty, or should dwell. How does it go? Secret place of the Almighty. You guys, none of you know what it is. So you did, Taylor, you did a very good job, but I don't trust you. I mean, we've had a Taylor love fest lately, but I still don't trust you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Secret place. I said for years, Lord, what is the secret place? And finally, one day God said, that's your spirit. That's the realm of the spirit. And I thought, my God, I'm the only one in the world that knows this. And then I turned on Dad Hagen and he was preaching and said, by the way, Psalm 91:1 means the secret place is the realm of the spirit. I thought, oh, he knew that too. I thought I was the only one that knew that. Because you don't hear too many people say that. You hear a lot of religious people, oh, what's the secret place? Ooh, it's the spirit realm. So, brother, the hidden man, the secret man, the man that is hidden in a secret room within the heart. Your spirit man is hidden in a secret place. Remember, the secret place is the realm of the spirit. He is in a secret place, a hidden room, a closet within the larger room of your heart. And it's another compartment inside your heart that is so deep and so pure and so holy. And your spirit man lives there. The Holy Ghost lives there and the blood lives there. And out of it comes revelation. Out of it comes the leading of the Spirit. Out of it comes faith. Out of it comes everything. And as it comes out from that inner room, what is it doing? It's going into the shallower waters of your heart or your soul. So as that revelation comes out of the inner room of the heart, it goes into the outer room of the heart. What is the inner room of the heart? Your spirit. What is the outer room of your heart? Your soul. It's all the heart. But the heart has the spirit and it has the soul. The spirit is hidden, the soul is not. It comes out of the spirit in the hidden place and it goes into the deep place and it goes into the shallow realm waters of the soul realm of the heart. And now that revelation that came out of the secret place can start to renew and wash the mind and the soul, which is of the shallow place of your heart. So basically on that plane, the Lord pulled the veil back for me and he said, son, the whole thing is the heart.
Yeah.
Everything is the heart. It's just that there's a deep part, secret hidden chamber called the secret hidden man of the heart, which is your spirit. But it comes out of that place because that's where I live. But then it goes into the all the other places. It infiltrates the remainder of the heart, which is the soul. And that's when you're washing your mind and renewing your mind with the word, because the word came out of the secret chamber and now it's come into the living room. Do you understand? Most of you just want to sit in the living room. You've got to get into the closet. Out of that comes the revelation that changes the living room. Out of the deep waters changes the shallow waters. Out of the spirit changes the soul. Do you see it? The hidden man of the heart. It's all the heart. So I was tricking you by saying, how could your heart be your spirit? Because I'm basing it on all these verses. But it's all, Deanne, the heart. It's just the heart has a secret chamber. Deep within you. It's another realm. But it's still within the category of the heart. Called the hidden man. The hidden chamber of the heart. Where your spirit man lives. And it comes out into the public chamber of the heart, which is the soul. I encourage you when you're praying, if you're praying in English only, you're in the living room. You're in shallow waters. Go into the closet. Go into the spirit realm. Go and pray in the Holy Ghost, because now you're accessing that chamber, secret, hidden, deep waters. Deep inside your heart, where it's perfect and everything good comes out of. And that it affects the rest of your heart and your soul, which some things are not so good. But it can change it.
Amen.
So don't look at, I'm done, but don't look at them as separate words.
Amen.
From now on, look at it like, it's my heart.
Yeah.
One heart. Everything is heart.
Yeah.
But within that heart, there is a soul and a spirit. There is shallow waters and deep waters. There is my mind, will, emotions, and then there is that secret place. My heart has a compartment in it that is the spirit, but it's still part of the heart because out of that heart, spirit comes faith.
Yes.
But I can still be a jerk because out of that heart, soul, I can be an idiot.
Yeah.
But out of my heart, spirit, I'm perfect.
Yeah, wow.
But I'm just one big heart. Praise God. Yes. You're just one big heart, Deanne. But there's sections within it. Learn to get skillful with the inner chamber. That's what we're after. The hidden man of the heart. There's more, but I think we should stop there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am happy to understand now how this baby works. Because when people said your heart is your spirit, I'd say it can't be. When people say you believe out of your heart, absolutely. But how can it be and it not be and a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Well, that's why. It's all one big heart. But there's different sections of it. Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Jenny, my spirit is in a secret chamber right now.
Amen.
That the devil can't touch.
That's right. That's right.
He can try to influence the shallow waters of my heart, but he can't touch the deep waters.
Glory.
Deep calleth unto deep. The Holy Ghost calls to my inner chamber because he's in there.
Hallelujah.
My God. And I'm supposed to live out of the closet.
Yes.
Live out of the, not the living room.
No.
And not the front yard. That's your flesh. Live out of the room within the room. Live with out of your spirit within the heart.
Glory to God.
Woo, glory. Heavenly Father, thank you that my congregation is getting it, that I'm getting it, and that we're going to live out of the inner chamber like Jehu. That's where the anointing is. We're going to pray in our closet like Jesus said. We're going to live out of the inner place, out of the secret place, which is the realm of spirits. And we have that inside our hearts. Lord, it's going to influence the rest of our heart, which is the soul. The deep part of the heart is the spirit. The shallow part of the heart is the soul. But it's all the heart. So we thank you, Father, for clarity. And we thank you, Lord, as we continue the series next week. And as I build upon this revelation, but I knew it was going to take a whole Wednesday to get this out. But Lord, let this now be an established truth in our hearts and in our lives. That we understand scripturally how this image looks. And how our insides work. And it'll help people to think, don't just sit in the living room, go into the closet. Don't just live out of your soul, get into your spirit. And we give you praise in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen.